Hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. And here we are with episode 109 of Destroy All Culture with me, Adam P. Nave, and Aiden Morgan.
Let's form Voltron!
See, I thought I would switch it up this time, because we talked about this last week.
Yes.
Always introducing, you know. Yeah, so I thought I would make a concerted effort. It actually did take effort.
I could tell, but it came off
like
very
it took,
smoothly.
It took, like, weird mental effort to actually do that the way I meant to do it.
On the other hand, it took me no effort at all to say, let's form Voltron, which was just the first thing that popped into my head.
Okay, let's see. We have stuff. We have things. Let's just, you know what, we're going to start, I think, with Killjoys, because we always start with, you know, start with Killjoys.
Exactly. Remember when there was the episode where they break into the ghost ship? And thereby ticked off the box on, like, every science fiction show has to have the ghost ship episode.
Right.
Also, every science fiction show eventually has to have the terrifyingly fast-growing baby episode.
Well, I think a lot of shows do it. And, I mean, we both know why, right? Like,
precisely.
This way you don't have to deal with, well, here's a baby on board, and how do we deal with this?
Yeah. In season of a baby, it would be a little bit difficult to work with.
Right. Yeah. Right, and I think that given that the baby, you know, that they did that with the pregnancy already, like, they set it up well.
Yes.
And given the hull and, like, it all makes sense, so they didn't just pull it out of thin air for one.
Oh, no,
nice.
No, this is not a criticism. I'm fascinated because it just seems to be a trope that just occurs frequently.
Oh, yeah.
And it's entertaining to watch it done on a show that I like, and in a way that, like, I have faith in the writers that they can pull off the fast-growing baby.
Right.
Episode, and they did it.
They did it, and also it was the weird kind of, like, we're gonna sort of do a heist episode, but not really.
Yes.
Like, it's such a quick little bit.
I know. Yeah, you think it's gonna be a heist episode. This is a very packed episode, actually. I was impressed by how much story they got through.
The Adam, I can't think of his name. The new showrunner who was, you know, their executive producer before this. Adam something, I'm terrible, I can't remember his name. did mention that someone in a review mentioned this, and he was very much on board with it, that it was a mid-season finale, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's,
it was a setting up of all the rest of the pieces for the rest of the season.
Right. Right. Except
and it did feel like that.
It did, didn't it? Yeah, I you know, that didn't really occur to me, but yeah, there's some major character shifts, and they're sort of, and a lot of the clues laid down at the beginning of the season are coming to fruition. There's a new character,
right,
presumably, with the child, whom they haven't even named yet, as far as I know.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Huh. But yeah, I did, the heist thing made me laugh, if only because, you know, we got the, like, this is how the heist is going to go scene, with them just being like, and then we'll just kidnap him for science.
Right.
And, like, the big, like, goofy grins and thumbs up. It's like, what are we doing? Come on. And then the whole Dav fight scene that was just fucking priceless.
Oh, just injecting themselves with stims and, like, till they're just,
right,
everyone's just, like, high as balls and laughing and...
Yeah, and just, like, laughing the entire time.
that was pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, that, and, like, you know, Johnny's hack, like, it was very much the Killjoys things, like, not many shows, like, shows would do all of these scenes.
Right.
But never in this way, and never reliably across the board all of them in that way. Like,
yes,
you might get a show that would have all of these scenes, but you wouldn't get, like, maybe you get the fight scene that's funny, but then you wouldn't get the whole hacking thing being, well, we have to make him say, like, got you, asshole.
That was pretty great, I have to admit.
Also, I really like the reveal at the end for the payoff from the first episode. That was a really slow burn of a build throughout this episode.
Uh-huh.
With the whole, like, you're remembering this wrong?
Yes. And...
And then suddenly, like, that other shoe drops, and you're just like, oh shit, like, we have a game now. That, like, plays into what they do with Killjoys, which is also nice.
Right. And I love that it came out of character. Like, just, it's sort of...
Right.
It seemed like a natural conversation between the two that they would be arguing about a memory until they realized that the divergent memories are a deliberate, you know, and essentially the key to figuring out, you know, Klein's plan and how to defeating the lady. I was like, ooh,
right.
Nicely done.
That's the thing, right? Like, it's this great slow build that, like, you don't even see. Like, it doesn't, it cannot occur to you as a build.
Right.
Because it's so in character and so natural that it just sneaks, you're just like, okay, they're just making time for, like, you know, let's get back to having Johnny and Dutch just be Johnny and Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fine with it. And that's what I say, like, and then suddenly it just, there's this little knife turn at the very end. And you're like, oh, wait. And you just, it's one of those things that when you go back and watch the season, they did this in the first season too, with that dead ship episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Like, when you go back and watch it, you're suddenly like, oh, wait, and, like, all the stuff with the Scarbacks and, like, how everything plays differently on a rewatch.
Yes.
I think this episode's going to be one of the major plays differently on a rewatch things.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny because because I have been watching Voltron, occasionally they deploy a strategy, which you see on Killjoys, which is that they take a very sort of light episode and they stuff it with really important information and large developments that you don't really realize are large developments when you're watching it. But as it plays out, you're like, oh, like there's an episode.
Yeah, I love that shit so much.
I know. It's
when it works.
There's one in Voltron. It's the episode. I think it might be a season two episode. So there's a chance you've seen it. It's Space Mall. They need Skulltrite to power up their wormhole
yes.
castle. So they go to a mall and, like, there's a bunch of jokes about, you know, how Karam thinks there's going to be, like, a bunch of, like, you know, shady space pirates, but he hasn't been in play for like 10,000 years. So now it's an incredibly boring space mall. And everybody's just having their own adventures. But at the same time, they're laying the grounds for all kinds of, like bombs that are going to go off very, like, very soon. And it was just beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
Also, their enemy appeared to be a security guard, which I thought was hilarious.
And because it's been a few episodes since we've done this, I know that, like, Frank laughs every time I do it.
Hey, that Frank.
Right. I feel the need to go, you know, like Farscape. that, like, just, you know, again, but it's that early planting that, like, you don't see coming.
Right.
You know, The Shield did it all the time. Like, I think all the best shows, really, like, that do drama do it.
Yeah, it's
true. You know,
Winona
Earp did it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually paid off. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, though, it's always a fun thing to see.
And I always think about the, frankly, really clumsy way that Stephen Moffat started doing it in Doctor Who.
Oh, God.
I mean,
when he had, like, actors walk across the screen with big signs saying, this will be important later.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Just about.
Take our TARDIS and go visit Chekhov and hand him this gun. Yeah.
Here you go. Don't use it until you need to use it. What does that mean? You'll find out.
God, I really hope someone actually does that episode of Doctor Who.
Oh my God, yes. Visit Chekhov, give him a gun. Please, please, please do that.
That really would be like...
Oh, jeez.
I speak of, because, you know, a lot of the things that we think of as tropes, like Chekhov's gun, there are always, of course, people who have never heard of them, right? And, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I caught someone on Twitter the other day, someone, like, retweeted something, where it was somebody who, like, had never heard of it, and they were like, there's this really cool thing that happens sometimes in shows, like, they do this thing that you think isn't going to mean anything, and then it does, and if you learn to watch for it, like, you know, all plots are really easy to figure out. And they're like, they were saying, like, it was, like, this terrible thing that, like, happens they just discovered.
Right.
Because for them, they had just discovered it. It's like, sure.
Did you know? If, did you see that? Did you see that show? I saw a pair of cross pistols above the fireplace. I was pretty sure they were gonna get used by the end. Yeah, that's a
Yeah, I
low
actually
blow.
back in the day, I remember I had a friend who we were talking about Shaun of the Dead, and they were talking about like how like they thought it was really kind of cool and unexpected that like they end up using the gun above the bar and it turns out to like be a real gun, and I'm like, really? Because they spent
Like,
some time discussing that gun in a movie about zombies, you gotta figure.
that's gonna come into play somewhere. Oh, this is off topic, but there was
What
a
is it
line.
at this
What
point?
isn't off topic? There was a line in this episode of Killjoys that made me laugh so hard that I wrote it down. And
Okay.
the line is as follows: Hi. Do you seriously have no drinks that aren't alcoholic, or have you all been drunk the entire time I've known you?
I
That
loved
just
that.
killed me. And like I just love it when Pip looks at them and says that, and then the other characters are like, it's like, yeah, all we drink is
And
coffee.
no, it's because, well, I mean, and it's one of those things of like, because you realize that it's true, like I don't think we've actually seen them do anything but like sit around in that galley and drink.
Right.
But it's also because mostly they, go to like they eat other places. But
Yeah.
then you do that math, and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, how do these people live? And that's the other thing I really enjoyed about this episode was it actually sort of started making jokes about the actual ways that these characters live if you pay attention. You know, that one
Yeah.
like that very last bit when the kid, you know, when he's stabilized and he says, do you have anything any food? And Dav's like, yes. Well, actually no.
Yeah, they're not good at being adults, none of them.
I think that's it. Yeah, that's oh, it's just kind of great.
Yeah, no, I know last episode the bit that killed me was don't villainsplain me. And I was just like, I don't believe they actually like went like just okay, that's a new one. We're keeping it. Just
Yeah, their dialogue game is on point this season, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same with what actually is Winona Earp's been pretty rocking the dialogue, rocking the good lines as well. So,
So you saw last week's episode of Winona Earp, right?
right, but not this
So you saw
week's.
the introduction of Zoe Palmer.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that continues this episode and gets a good resolution and adds a bunch of pieces to puzzles that like we're like, wait, but and it kind of resolves a whole bunch of stuff while still, moving forward, which is nice. It also has karaoke night at the bar. Because of course it does.
Why can I already picture how that scene goes in my head? Or at
It
least.
actually doesn't go as at what quite like you think.
Oh, interesting.
None of the actual main cast end up doing karaoke.
Oh, okay.
It's just kind of a background thing. It which makes it even funnier. Because I spent the entire scene waiting for it. Like, okay, which character's gonna get it? None of them. Okay. It's just
Interesting.
fine. But yeah, no, it was a good episode. I think they have hit a stride this season. Which has been nice. Again, not that the show's ever bad,
Yeah. Now it seems like they're doing a good job of balancing like the humor and the horror, I find.
Yeah.
And also building in lots of backstory that doesn't just feel like, careless retconning, but actually legitimately feels like actual character development.
Yeah, no, and this episode has a bunch more of that. Which is, again, it's nice. So, yay.
Yay. Yeah. I'm a little
Yeah.
uncertain about Nicole Hott's sort of Cult of Bolshar survivor backstory. I'm going to wait to see how it plays out, I guess.
Yeah, we get a little bit more of that. Also, this episode, I love that it doesn't ruin one small moment that will just you'll still chuckle when you see it. But there's a whole fight, in Waverly's room, and she's not there, but you know, Nicole is. And the villain ends up like tossing her into this closet and locking the door, and like trapping her there and leaving. And later, when like you know, Nicole is explaining what had happened to Waverly, she's like, and then she ironically locked me in the closet. And I'm just like, that's beautiful. That's just Let's just call that, because when she did, I was like, are you really putting like the outright like lesbian on the show? Just did you really just put her in the closet? Is that a okay? That's fine. Like, are you gonna mention that? Oh, you are. You know?
Yeah, right.
Oh, thank you.
Subtext is for cowards.
Yeah. Weirdly, this episode had no Jeremy.
Oh.
Which is a little weird for me.
Well, you know what happened that one episode when of Seinfeld, when the one episode that George wasn't featured. The actor actually threatened to leave the show.
Huh. I don't think that's what's going to happen here.
I do not think that will happen either. I'm pretty sure that's not how things work anymore. But
no.
Yeah, Jason Alexander.
And again, actually, it made sense. Yeah. Like there was no place for Jeremy in this episode. Like it, in a way that makes sense when you see it.
Right. Maybe he was off on a date with what's-his-face guy.
Right, well, that's what I kind of assumed, Robin. Yeah, that's what I kind of
Robin,
assumed.
That's it, yeah.
Was that they set him up, and then he's off there, and again, the episode doesn't intersect him, really. So, okay. But it was just, I've gotten so used to Jeremy's in the episode, you know? Where'd he go? It's the problem they sort of big cast thing, right? Like, you watch, like, Killjoy saying, you're like, where is Pri? Hey!
Yeah, that's sometimes I wondered about stuff like that. It's like, hey, where's that character? Just off somewhere. Don't worry about it. Although,
right, and again, it's a good sign. Frankly, it's a really nice sign for the work both these shows do with their, you know.
Right.
I don't want to say B cast, but you know what I mean, like
yeah,
kind of B cast. They're second wave players that. When they start not being in every episode because they can't be, because they shouldn't be, like, you do notice it.
Yes. Exactly. Well, so. I mean, whenever Tom Allison's not on Killjoys, I'm like, hey, I got cheated.
Right, and like, you know, right, like, when there's no fancy, but at this point, like, even when, like, when we don't get, like, that 10-second check-in with Turin, like,
right.
It's just, all of their side characters are so well-developed that you want all of them every episode, and that's not a thing.
I like Turin's, like, Hullen zombie sidekick in this episode.
That whole thing is just... Yeah, I love that they're just giving him his own little teeny side adventure.
I know. And it just... I was watching it, and I'm like, this is fun, and I think it's just an excuse to, like, give Turin lines, basically. Just to get some Turin dialogue in there.
Right, and maybe to kill him off soon.
I would not enjoy
hopefully
that.
Not, but, hopefully you know... I also did like Gareth and Fancy, because that's a team-up that should never happen.
Oh, shit. Oh, I love that. He's like, hey, I'll handle this. No, I'll talk to this person. Like, Fancy's way of talking to people is just committing violence. It's like, okay,
yeah.
I'm going to talk to somebody else. Have you seen Missing Children?
It was shot with an energy weapon. It didn't feel like an energy weapon. Do you get shot with them often?
That's right. Get shot a lot. I don't like him.
Oh fuck. Such a thing. What else? Oh, I have still been watching 12 Monkeys.
Oh yes, yes.
And I have now finished the second season.
Now where are we at with the second season?
Okay, so the second season, and actually gave my first actual problem with the show. Because the second season is the whole, like, we have to stop all the primaries from getting killed or else it'll tear apart time. Blah, blah, blah. And, like, we find the Titan thing, which apparently is, like, the whole place is a time machine.
Yeah, it's a portable city.
And we find out who the Witness is and all this. My problem is that the last time there was a paradox... We find out that everyone who had time traveled is immune to paradoxes, right? Like, time moves around them.
Right.
And I thought that was a really cool thing. However, in the season finale, like, you know, Cole rewrites some time. I mean, he does it without a time machine. Because they have the whole, like, you take this drug and you can kind of mentally go wherever you were and re-inhabit yourself and change things.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Which, yeah. Okay, fine. I can accept that. I mean, again, like, this is a show that has me accepting the, like, time is a conscious thing.
Yeah.
So, I'm fine with that. But he resets a bunch of time, and only he remembers it. Except not quite. Like, the Doctor remembers bits of it. And then, like, as he starts to remember, I'm like, wait, but aren't they immune to paradoxes? Like, is there a different type of paradox that we've just discovered?
Yeah, yeah.
Or did we just break a rule? And I'm fine if they commit to it's a different type of paradox and we're going to go forward and there's, like, you know, machine-based ones versus mental travel ones. I guess?
Hmm.
But it's just, it's weird.
Hmm.
Also, I mean, the paradox itself is interesting because, you know, the whole witness thing, which, and again, major spoilers for a show that ended, like, last year. But the whole witness thing being the kid that has now never been born.
Hmm.
Is, okay, how did that work? And I'm sure that
yeah.
that's where they're going to go, right?
Right.
But, yeah, no, the show, I see what you mean about the show just, like, keeps just going, and now this, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, it's, they
sure.
ask quite a bit, and I found that. And one of the reasons I kind of sort of stopped watching it, I still have to get through season four, is just, it just gets a little exhausting going, oh, I guess there's something else that invalidated the shit that went before that I still didn't quite understand. Oh, whatever, I guess I'm just going to accept it. Or stop.
Right, I mean, and that's the thing, it does, it's, I really like the show.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep watching it, but I've been watching it less,
yeah.
just because there is a level where it's kind of exhausting.
Yep.
And, yeah, I just, I don't know. I get it. I get why the show kind of went away.
But, I mean, it's a fascinating show nonetheless.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's still really good.
Yeah.
It just, it, and again, it demands a lot, and that's always that's not always, but it's usually a good thing in shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, like, Killjoys demands you pay attention.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Because, like, again, like, I think it was season two where it was something like, you know, all the stuff with the Scarbacks, and all of a sudden it has all this other meaning, but they never go, hey, remember this?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to kind of hold it in your head and be willing to play along. But this feels less like we're building these bricks and more like, we had this really cool idea today, so we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, again, it's very well written, but it still feels like there's a bunch of stoners in a room somewhere.
Yeah, and they do something and they're like, oh, well, you know, we'll explain it later. We'll in the next season when we figure that we'll figure it out when we get there.
Right, until we rewrite that and
yeah.
Continually playing catch up.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, not in an obnoxious way. Like, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They still have fun with it. You know, like at the end of the penultimate episode for the season, when, like, everyone gets killed, like, you know that that's not going to stick.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know? You know.
Yeah, no, it's true.
But this is a show where it's like, there are enough characters, so you're like, but that doesn't mean that all of it's not going to stick. Like, they have fun with that.
Hmm.
That, like, how much of this will be undone versus how much won't be is interesting. Yeah, at least I'm enjoying the show. It's just, it's a little wacky.
Yeah.
Speaking of wacky, you mentioned that you've been watching more Voltron, because I marked out early season two.
Ah, well, I'm currently midway through season three. From season three to six, the seasons are a lot shorter. They're like only about seven episodes each. I don't understand how they work any of their seasons.
It's that Netflix thing, right? Like,
yeah.
Where they have, like, we did this many episodes, and then we needed time between doing more episodes, so they just called it a season.
Right. Yeah.
Because season one and two were originally supposed to be one season.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They just kind of, like, stopped in the
it
middle.
It stopped. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot. I was like, hey.
Reboot.
Yeah.
The reboot thing did the same thing. Where it's, like, the back half of it's supposed to be season two.
Huh.
So yeah, I gave up on Netflix's idea of seasons a while ago.
Yeah, I know. It's just and frankly, it's I mean, there are definite season finales in Voltron, but it's so heavily serialized that I mean, it's it actually I actually feel that it's one of the few Netflix shows that seems to understand how to make good episodes and really good binge-worthy television at the same time. Because they construct each episode so beautifully. Because every like I've just part of why I'm the enjoyment of watching it is it's entertaining as hell and I love the characters, but I also watch it because it's just such a an exemplary piece of writing and structure. It's like the stakes are always made clear. You know they're going to triumph. You know they're going to figure out the strategy to beat the giant monster or the Robeast or whatever they
And it's going
call
to be
it.
forming Voltron.
And yeah, you know they're going to form Voltron, or you know that they won't be able to form Voltron, but they'll have to figure out a way to beat the enemy anyway. Maybe that involves forming Voltron, or maybe not. But the stakes are always incredibly clear. Like I'm always like legitimately nervous that something bad is going to happen, even though I know it probably won't, even though I know they're going to pull
Well, I mean,
through.
it's the Legend of Korra team.
Yeah, exactly. So there, yeah, it's watching the people who've done did Airbender and Korra, basically put stuff in the future, and it's weird because I mean the villain, like the main villain of the first two seasons, what's his face? Karnok or whatever, I can't remember his name now. The Emperor. I mean, he's essentially using druidic magic, right? To track, to track the crew and to create those big monsters. So it's still Korra-esque in some ways because there's still just like straight up, nope, this is magic. It's just super advanced technology, magic, right? And lots of like, I also like the way the whole thing's color coded. It's so perfect for a show that's ostensibly meant for children, and they just do it so skillfully. Even to the point where I legitimately get a like a little thrill out of every time they form Voltron. I'm like, oh, it's the Voltron sequence. Oh, here comes the guy's face. Oh yeah. And I love the fact that Voltron kind of looks crappy because he's scuffed and scarred and like. When you watch the little forming sequence, it's like, man, this Voltron's been through some shit. So,
Right,
yeah.
which makes sense.
That's cool. And season three, we're sort of getting more sort of information on like why it is that Voltron is, as they say, the most powerful force in the universe. It appears to have been made from some kind of rock that's capable, some kind of some comet that's capable of traveling between realities and crossing dimensions. So they've already gone to like one sort of alternate dimension that's just a complete crazy hellscape, in which the Alteans, instead of being killed by the Galra, defeated the Galra and have gone on to become like an imperial dystopian force all on their own. And you
Of
just know
course.
that's going to come back at some point, like. At
Oh,
some
sure.
point in the show, that's those assholes are going to show up again.
And there's that trope of like, anytime you have the altered dimensions, you have to have one with the heroes and villains.
Yes, exactly. So, and there's a lot of interesting things that are happening, especially the end of season two is a major change. It almost actually it feels a lot like season three of Korra, when they sort of dispatched with one villain and with new story had like a group of other villains who are much more terrifying because they're not the cartoon villains of the first two seasons. Suddenly they're much more interesting and sympathetic opponents. So this is going to be I'm very much looking forward to the rest of this. I also have to get to season seven because I've been seeing all these headlines, basically about sort of, oh, there's an LGBTQ character. Oh, the
They
fandom is being torn
they
apart.
pulled a bury your gaze.
Oh, they pulled a what?
A bury your gaze.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh. God damn it.
Like apparently very badly and very quickly, which makes it even worse.
Great.
So, yay.
Oh, that's why, because there's an I saw the headline says, Lauren Montgomery apologizes to the fans. I'm like, ugh, do I want to see this? Oh, wow. Well,
I still hope that they're gonna. I think I mentioned this to you on Twitter. I hope that they're gonna at one point form reverse Voltron.
I would love to see
You know,
that.
like legs
Yes.
for arms and arms for legs, and the
Legs.
head comes out of the butt.
Oh, now I want to see that. I actually want to see them go across into another reality where there's a the what is
Tron
what's
Vol.
Tron. It's like in Doctor Who when there's like that army of Sid rats instead of the TARDIS,
Right.
and so on and so forth.
Oh.
It's, I'm just picturing
God.
them going, "Ugh, what's wrong with this Voltron?" Yeah.
So it's interesting. I had that moment yesterday. I was doing a lot of work. Because, you know, my Saturday, so I'm catching up on deadlines.
Of course.
I'm trying to get a bunch of work done, and the cats, as I mentioned to you before the podcast, were driving me insane. And so I was like, okay, if I can finish this word count, I can go watch a dumb movie.
Right.
Because this way I can go sit on the couch, the cats can swarm all over me and, you know, get attention, and I will just sit and watch a dumb movie and turn my brain off for like an hour or two. So I ended up, I don't know why, I had this moment. I was like, you know what I should watch? Now You See Me 2.
Now you still don't see me, which is what it
I
should
know,
be
it really,
called.
everyone agrees, it should have been called Now You Don't. Now, have you seen both of these things?
I have seen neither of these things.
Okay. The original Now You See Me is kind of a cute, weird, like, kind of heist movie.
Right, with magic. Or,
With magic. And it's all, like, magic this shit doesn't quite make sense.
Sure.
Like, it's not like, you know, oh, magic tricks don't make sense. It's just one of these. Even here, they're very much playing the this is impossible.
Okay.
But shut up and take it.
Right.
But it's a fun little caper movie with magic instead of whatever else you feel like putting in the slot that day, right?
Gotcha.
Like card players or anything, you know,
Yeah.
cars, surfboards. But it's cute. It's well done. It's fun. Then they did a sequel.
And
And so much of the sequel is like, well, we have to up all the stakes. We have to like up like what the magic does. And it just gets to the point of this is just ridiculous.
oh, of course. Yeah.
And some of it's kind of fun because you're like, this is so ridiculous, it is just ludicrous. Like it makes so little sense that you're just like, I guess something's wrong with it. Maybe it's real magic, you know, type of thing. But then by the end of it, I don't know, it just like it never quite gelled like the first one did. You know, the first one had like a final trick to play sort of thing. Whereas this one just sort of feels like, and then we realized we weren't going to get a third one. I don't know how else to describe it. It just
So we don't get
it's
now
it's
you see me Tokyo Drift, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's like kind of worth watching just because some of the characters, like Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson, work well against each other.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine that.
And the second one has Lizzie Caplan, who's always fun to watch.
Oh, of course.
Like she has a lot of fun with the film. But like, you know, there's a big set piece scene in the second one where they're like in this computer clean room and they have to steal this computer chip thing. I don't know what it's supposed to really be because it is nothing on Earth. But it happens to be the same size and shape as a playing card. So they could stick it to the back of a playing card using I don't know because it just sticks by itself. And then like while they're getting searched, they're doing like card tricks constantly to keep the card moving so they don't get seen with it.
Right.
Either in terms of one person or throwing it around the room to another person when no one's looking. And it's a fun scene in terms of like, look at how ridiculous the effects get. But it also makes no sense because it relies on no one else seeing this card flying through the room. There are just too many people in the room to someone not be like, the fuck is that?
Fair enough.
But again, it's like there's enough charm that in the initial moment, when you see it for the first time, at least the initial moment, you're just like, yeah, it's fun. It's just on a rewatch, it kind of bogs down a bit because you're like, yeah, no, just no.
Just stop.
It does, however, have Daniel Radcliffe as kind of like a proto Bond villain, which is hysterical.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Especially in a movie about magic. Where it's like, he was like, you know, I tried magic and then I gave it up because it wasn't as cool as science. Like, they never give a hard wink at Harry Potter, thank God. But I think they realize they don't have to because you're going to anyway. Like, exactly. They don't have to do anything.
Yeah, you're going to do all the work for them, basically. Oh. So, if I were to watch it, like the first one, would it be worth my while to watch the second one?
I think, again, it's one of those things that, like, the sequel is inferior, but it's still, if you like most of the characters, it's very much worth it. It has Morgan Freeman in there. It has, Mark Ruffalo in it.
Oh, cool.
Who's having a lot of fun. So that's things like the cast is having a lot of fun, and that really helps. Like anything, you know, it's just even when the movie isn't great,
right?
You're still enjoying the cast just having fun.
There's that sense that you're hanging out and
I mean, there's and they occasionally have like a smart move. Like just there's a scene in the second one where they have to like escape this thing and they're all get on these motorcycles. And Ruffo looks down the line. He looks at Lizzie Captain and's like, "Do you know how to ride one of these?" And she's like, "What? A, yes, and B, you don't ask the guys." And they start driving away. It turns out Woody Harrelson has no clue how to drive one. And it's just like, it's that kind of like little stacked gag.
Yeah.
That just helps. Like, they lean into it a little bit in the right way.
Mm-hmm. So, it sounds like it is worth a lazy Sunday watch.
Yeah, like I said, the first one is definitely worth a lazy Sunday watch. I think you'll enjoy the hell out of it. And if you like the characters at all, then you should watch the second one. That's basically how that works.
Sweet.
Just don't expect quite the same level of, like, ooh, fun.
Okay. Will do. Well, hey, speaking of fun and stuff that isn't fun, well, fun in a different way. Last weekend, when it was over 100 degrees out outside here, we escaped into
Dear
the
Lord,
darkness.
You better be talking Fahrenheit.
Yes. It was 41 degrees Celsius. That's
just making sure, because I was like, no.
Heat waves. But at any rate, Alan and I, we escaped into a movie theaters twice that day because we had a car and we had to get the hell out of the heat because it was just intolerable. So in the afternoon, we went to a free screening of The Red Turtle, which is a Studio Ghibli or Ghibli film. But it's the one done by the Dutch animator. I think it's Michel, I cannot remember his name. I'm going to IMDb this as we speak so I can give you his name and mangle the pronunciation. It's a beautiful, it's a beautiful movie. The whole thing is there's no dialogue. The main character occasionally shouts hi every so often, but he's a castaway sort of washes up on an island. His attempts to leave are always thwarted by something, which turns out to be a red turtle. And then, through various circumstances, which I will not spoil, a woman shows up on the island, they have a kid, and they live out their lives. That's pretty much the plot. And it's a very charming mixture of the realistic and the mystical. It's a fable, essentially. But it is... It's kind of heartbreaking to watch, and depending on how you feel on the day you watch it, you're either going to come away from it sort of feeling uplifted by the basic story of being alive on Earth, or you're going to feel like devastated and imprisoned by like being caught up in the cycle of death. You know,
right?
It's what
either
you
or
do it. Either or. Anyway, I was having a bad day, so I opted for the latter. So I was not feeling very good afterwards. And it's funny, the movie was full of, like, the audience was full of kids, like, parents had brought kids in. Sure. There was a folk music festival literally across the street from the theater, and during the day everything's free at the festival, so you see acts and there's a kids stage, but it was really hot, so parents were bringing in their kids, and they were just the kids were like watching, but they're also just running around the theater and asking like questions, and it was charming. So later on, I said to Alan, I said, we need to go see something really light, something that's going to take my mind off it. So we went and saw Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which
I have
is,
heard that this is a whole lot of fun.
it is pretty much everything you want from a Teen Titans Go, like, movie. Translated to the big screen. It's if you know like if you don't have any knowledge of DC Comics, it's amusing. If you have some knowledge, then the jokes there's a twist or a reveal partway through, which absolutely should not surprise anybody who knows anything about the characters, but will amuse people who don't know anything about the characters.
That's nice.
And it's oddly enough, they never call like the main villain is Deathstroke, but they never call him
Of course.
Deathstroke. They call him just Slade.
Well, because it's a kid show, so they're not gonna.
So, yeah, I mean, and also he says, "I'm not Deadpool," repeatedly. But yeah, but he says he's like, "We need a because Robin needs the basic the premise is that everybody thinks the Teen Titans are a joke,
Sure.
and then Robin decides that the only way that he can be taken seriously as a superhero is if he has his own superhero movie, because every other superhero is getting their own movie. So, like, so that even Alfred is getting his own movie. So, like, basically Alfred, he dusts, he cleans, etc.
And of
So
course,
he.
the joke there for people who don't get that as well is that they are actually going ahead with an Alfred prequel TV show off of Gotham.
Jesus Christ.
That'll focus on like Alfred's time in the SAS. So that's where they got that from, if nothing else.
Fuck. Well, they're also doing the car. They're also doing next summer, the car. They don't even call it the Batmobile. They just call it the
Right.
car. And so Robin sort of says, well, in order to be movie worthy, obviously I need like I need a nemesis. And so they end up tangling with Slade Wilson, and it's great because he's like, I need a villain. Like, you can say the name really dramatically, but so every time he says Slade, everybody goes Slade, Slade, like et cetera, et cetera. It's just basically endless jokes, but oddly enough, sort of there's some real sort of emotional pain packed in there with like Robin being sort of dealing with being forever the sidekick and trying desperately to be taken seriously as a hero and as a person. So there's actually kind of a little emotional through line in there that's that
Nice.
makes the movie like not just like a throwaway.
Right.
Yeah, I would say watching The Red Turtle in the afternoon and Teen Titans Go in the evening is my pick of the week.
Nice.
It's a very specific pick, though. I will
It's
say
a
that.
very specific pick. Oh dear.
And the and also Slade outwitting them by his techniques of mind manipulation when he first encounters them is just so stupidly funny, because he's like, "Here's my thumb. It's attached to my hand, but look, no, stuff like that."
Right.
And look behind you. No, seriously, etc.
That sounds wonderful.
It is kind of wonderful. It is ridiculous, like children's gag humor, and that any adult will
And
just
that can
kind
be
of laugh
great.
at.
Well, cool. Yeah, I haven't really been, I've just been working. So there's not really much else that I've been doing.
Right. Fair enough. I've been I actually I was I've been working too. I was out of town for a couple of days doing some photo and video shoots. This province is covered in smoke from British Columbia right now. So
Yeah, we are
all of
covered.
my,
So are we, actually.
I'm not surprised.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's in the same place, but
I don't know.
it might be, frankly.
I don't know where the smoke is drifting and where you are, but I mean it's all just drifting out eastward from BC, and
Yeah, I think it's drifting down, and eastward is the problem here.
right, yeah,
'Cause yeah, we just spent like a week with the California fires.
right.
With it being like just, I mean, and again, it, last year, it was there were fires like local in Portland just across the river, and it got bad.
Wow.
Like smelled like a campfire outside, the sky was red type of bad.
Oh, yeah.
It is not quite that bad, but it's just been sort of like hazy and not great outside.
Right.
And we all thought we were clear, and then nope.
Yeah, there's a few days here where, yeah, essentially the sky was orange and this there was no sunset, and like the sun was just this little sort of coin in the sky, a little copper coin,
Yeah.
because just smoky as all hell. Yeah, I was gonna say that I like the way you said that. You spent a week with California fires. It sounded like you had a really shitty house guest for a week or something.
It kind of felt like that. Actually, it's a problem, you know, obviously, I mean, it's a problem for any number of reasons, but it's one of those things of, you know, you know, you don't want to open windows. Like, that's why I've been checking, because I knew this was coming. Like, I heard that it was drifting in, so, like,
Right.
this morning, I'm like, okay, well, it's nice and cool out. Open the windows in the morning, you know, turn off the, like, the central air, just, you know, let the world just kind of seep in a little bit. And I just couldn't do it because it's just like hazy enough out there that I'm like, no, it's just not, I don't want to fill the house with it.
Right. Yeah. Yep. It's been kicking up my
Also makes it
allergies.
harder to go
Something
sit in the
fierce.
patio.
Ah, yeah, that's a shame.
And I resent anything that stops you from sitting on my patio, let me tell you.
If I can't drink scotch and sit on the patio, well, God damn it.
It's not even the drinking so much, it's just like, there's a, because like here, like seriously, like, there's like a couple month window where my patio is really usable, right? Because once the rainy season starts, usually means it's also cold enough that you don't want to sit on the patio much.
Right.
You know, like by October, you're done.
Okay. Yeah.
And then like you're okay-ish, hopefully by like March-ish, but it's still like, oh, is it really rainy? Like the umbrella, but then you have to walk between the house and the patio. And how bad is it? And then again, like you have like a little bit of time where it's like it's really nice and it's a little chilly, and then it gets stupidly hot again, and you're like, I don't wanna. Like, it hasn't cooled off enough, so like, but losing even more of that is just like, God damn it! There's only a couple months out of the year, like
Right.
less than half the year, where I have any hope of patio.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's weird. That's a little bit like here. Different climatic conditions, but yeah, there's kind of a brief window. Mostly
Right.
because as soon as like as when you hit July and August, it's just hot and unpleasant. It's just like it's like sitting on the heat and it's dusty. And then the wasps start. So, yeah, I'm not going
That's always fun.
outside. September, it's like fuck it, I'm staying inside because I just don't want to deal with the wasps because they're everywhere.
Yeah, we get some mosquitoes.
Oh, we got plenty of those too. Yeah.
But actually, the funny one. So one night, and this is your podcast worthy, I hope. Unlike so many of our stories. But one night we're sitting out in the patio, and it was like kind of starting to rain a little bit. And it was in the 50s, you know, high 50s, but chilly. And so we open the umbrella because there's, you know, an umbrella on the patio, goes to the center of the table type of, you know, patio umbrella thing. And we, you know, use a little winch and open the umbrella. And on the underside of the umbrella, like right near the top, there's like five wasps
Oh,
that are all just like huddled and sleeping because it's too cold out for them to move.
yes.
And it was one of these like, well, they seem to be asleep. We can't do anything about them.
Right.
Like, you know, like anything we try to do will just end up bad. Like, do we either just put down the umbrella and hope they stay asleep, or like, are we now just like, and it just became this like, fuck it, we're just gonna stay out here. But like,
With these
I spent the
wasps.
rest of the night just like nervously glancing up every 30
Right,
seconds.
at the wasps of Damocles just waiting to drop on you,
Yeah,
and yeah.
pretty much. And it turned out basically they pretty much died. Like, it had just
Oh.
been cold enough that they had huddled there for once and pretty much had died, but they just stuck. Because eventually they just, like, fell off and hit the table. It's like, okay. Guess that's a thing.
All right, corpse wasps. All right, that's fine. Not wasp corpses for some reason in my head, but corpse wasps, which sounds way worse.
Right, that's, I like that. It sounds like a type of wasp you find in Australia.
Exactly. What's that? It's a corpse wasp. It will sting you to death and then inhabit your body and make it run around in little circles. Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So when you see
that's
someone running
Ticks.
Around, what's that?
That's the movie. That's pretty much the plot of the movie Ticks.
Oh, jeez.
Well, they have these mutant, these ticks that get, like, someone dumps some, like, radioactive, you know, toxic waste in the swamp.
Right.
And you get with these giant mutant ticks, are, like, the size of your head, and at one point, one of the kids who's running from them, like, four or five of them, like, enter in through his mouth somehow, and then start animating him.
Oh, Jesus.
It makes no sense at all, but it's fucking hysterical.
Of course. Oh, my God. I love it. Yeah, yeah, we get we ticks have gotten worse here in recent years. They've sort of, I mean, climate change, baby. They've ticks have sort of like started moving up into our hemisphere, into our, you know, into our latitudes.
Right.
And so I'm always sort of paranoid about them because I hate getting. I just hate the idea. And the thing is, like, there's Lyme disease, but there's also that bizarre allergy that some ticks can spread that makes you allergic to red meat.
Yes.
So I am preemptively angry at ticks for even presenting me with a possibility that I can't enjoy a good steak. I'm just so pissed off.
Right?
You don't you do this to me. Yeah, basically. So hopefully
yeah, no,
it doesn't
it's
happen.
Terrible.
But,
terrible.
Yeah, terrible stuff. Yeah, ticks and wasps are just, they're shit animals. I don't know why they're around. Just.
Could not answer you. I agree.
I think. I had an epiphany one day when I was, like, fending off some wasps. They were basically the humans of the insect world. They go everywhere.
That's fair.
They eat, like, they eat all the meat, they eat all the sugar, and they just will do terrible things.
Fuck it up for everyone else.
Yeah, and they fuck it up for everybody else, yeah. That's like.
Yeah, DJ Kirkbride has a saying that I like to steal now and then, which is, agree to agree. I don't know why it makes me laugh every time he says it, but I do.
Oh,
agree to agree. Like, it just, it, yeah.
I don't know why that, yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's also
anyway.
That's also why I believe that, like, that whole sort of, like, plot, you know, the science fiction plot line about, you know, aliens showing up and just either avoiding us or killing us because we're so terrible.
Right.
Is almost certainly the case.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yes.
We're
anyway.
Coming close to the hour mark.
Right.
We should play out some music.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Get some of that music going on, and just,
woo!
You know, people can enjoy that, the sweet guitar riffs. That's what they're here for.
Woo!